This is a Kim Monson, Colorado news briefing. Colorado bill would let regulators compel Ixl to put Comanche 3 costs on every electric bill for decades. House Bill 261326 hands the Public Utilities Commission new authority to order utilities to securitize costs through a non-bypassable charge on ratepayers, with the troubled Pueblo coal plant sitting in plain view as the first test case. A bill moving through the Colorado House would give state regulators the power to order Ixl Energy and other investor-owned utilities to recover major costs through bonds repaid by a decades-long charge on every customer's electric bill, a fundamental rewiring of who decides how Coloradans pay for energy infrastructure. House Bill 261326, the Colorado Public Utilities Commission sunset bill, cleared the House Energy and Environment Committee on April 23 by a 9-4 Democrat-led party-line vote. The 4 no votes came from committee Republicans Representative Dugroff, Representative Slaw, Representative Woog, and Representative Barron. The bill subsequently cleared the House Finance Committee. The third revised fiscal note dated May 1 reflects that committee's amendments and was published for House Appropriations, the bill's next stop on the House side. Sponsored by House Majority Leader Representative Monica Doron, Democrat of Wheat Ridge, and Representative Jenny Wilford, Democrat of North Glen, with Senate Majority Leader Senator Robert Rodriguez and Senator Lisa Cutter leading in the upper chamber, the measure carries no Republican co-sponsors. Its central substantive change sits in sections 13 through 18 of the pre-amended bill, which rewrite the 2019 Colorado Energy Impact Bond Act. The pivotal sentence lands at CRS 40-41-103, a single line that lets the Public Utilities Commission direct an electric utility to apply for what is called a financing order. Today, the utility decides whether to file. Under the bill, the regulator decides. What the 2019 Energy Impact Bond Act does today. Under existing law, an investor-owned utility like Ixl Energy can voluntarily ask the Public Utilities Commission to securitize stranded asset costs. The mechanism is narrow. The 2019 Act, Senate Bill 19236, authorized securitization for two specific purposes: financing the early retirement of coal-fired electric generating facilities and recovering costs of approved wildfire mitigation plans. In every case, the utility is the one filing the petition. Securitization, in plain English, lets a utility issue bonds backed by a non-bypassable charge that appears on every customer's monthly electric bill, typically for 20 to 30 years, until the bonds are repaid. According to the Denver Gazette, the charge stays on every bill, with periodic adjustments, only until the bonds are repaid, typically 20 to 30 years. Any securitization order would still require the Public Utilities Commission to find a net benefit to ratepayers, according to the bill. The canonical test case is Ixl's Comanche 3 coal plant. In 2021, the Public Utilities Commission approved Ixl's plan to retire Comanche 3 early, scheduled for no later than 2031. The accelerated retirement saves customers money on the front end, but leaves an unrecovered investment Ixl would otherwise collect through traditional rate-based mechanisms. Who had DORA recommended? Every Colorado regulatory agency must justify its existence to the legislature on a periodic schedule. The Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies conducts the sunset review and recommends statutory changes. DORA's 2025 sunset review of the Public Utilities Commission, completed in October, recommended 23 statutory changes. House Bill 261326 is the omnibus implementation vehicle. Recommendation 5 sits at the core of the Article 41 rewrites. DORA's analysis frames the problem in incentive terms. Investor-owned utilities profit from rate-based investments. Securitization, by definition, removes the asset from rate base, replacing the equity and debt return on it with a lower-cost ratepayer-backed bond. According to the DORA report, opportunities for customer savings, in the form of lower monthly costs to retire utility-securitized property, may thus be foreclosed. Because securitization filings under the existing law are at the utility's sole discretion, the regulator has no statutory tool to act when it concludes ratepayers would benefit and the utility prefers not to file. Dora's proposed fix is the new sentence in CRS 40-41-103. The Public Utilities Commission may direct an electric utility to file an application for a financing order after a finding that doing so is in the interest of ratepayers and would lower the cost of providing electric service. That phrase, in the interest of ratepayers, is also new statutory language. The bill requires the Public Utilities Commission to make that finding before any compelled filing. What the bill expands. Beyond compelled filing, the bill broadens what costs are eligible for securitization. The introduced version, drafted from DORA's recommendation, expanded eligible costs from the original two narrow categories to include extreme weather events, additional wildfire mitigation costs, climate change response, and, in the catch-all language carried into Section 17, or other hazards. The House Energy and Environment Committee adopted 8 amendments unanimously on April 23rd. 2 of those amendments materially adjusted scope, shortening the sunset extension from 11 years to 7, so the Public Utilities Commission would now expire on September 1, 2033, rather than 2037, and stripping a separate provision that would have allowed the Public Utilities Commission to deliberate certain matters in closed session. On air, on the May 4th Kim Monson Show broadcast, guest host Brad Beck cited the bill's earlier 2037 sunset figure. That number reflected the introduced version. The committee amended it down to 2033 in the same hearing the segment referenced. The article version is the pre-amended bill, dated April 27th. The Comanche 3 angle. Comanche 3 is Colorado's largest coal-fired generating unit, a 750-megawatt plant outside Pueblo that came online in 2010 as a $1.3 billion investment. According to a notice letter IXL filed with the Public Utilities Commission and the Colorado Office of Utility Consumer Advocate, on August 12, 2025, the plant experienced elevated vibrations that tripped the turbine offline and led to notable damage to the unit. That outage has been the longest of the plant's history, but the unit's operating record was already troubled. According to Colorado Sun reporting, Comanche 3 has been offline more than 900 days since 2010, an average of roughly 91 days per year of unplanned downtime in its first decade. Public Utilities Commission staff have flagged the cause as a sustained operational pattern, not a one-off failure. According to Colorado Sun reporting on the staff filing, the staff cited poor maintenance practices at the plant. According to the Denver Gazette, repairs are expected to cost $15 million to $26 million total, with IXL's share around $4.6 million after insurance. The Public Utilities Commission has already extended Comanche Unit 2 through the end of 2026 to help cover the gap. This is the test case, sitting in plain view. If House Bill 261326 is enacted, when IXL comes to the Public Utilities Commission for cost recovery on the Comanche 3 retirement or on any extended outage repairs, the regulator will have a new option. It can find that securitizing the unrecovered balance is in the interest of ratepayers and direct IXL to file. The compulsion authority would put the cost recovery onto a non-bypassable charge for the life of the bonds, typically 20 to 30 years. The free market critique. The compulsion language is the central objection from free market commenters. Sarah Montalbano, an energy policy analyst at the Independence Institute, submitted written testimony to the House Energy and Environment Committee. According to the Denver Gazette report on her testimony, Montalbano said the bill would authorize the Public Utilities Commission to order a utility to securitize assets rather than waiting for a voluntary application, and that authorizing the Public Utilities Commission to compel utilities to write down government-created losses converts securitization from a ratepayer protection tool into a financial mechanism for implementing legislative policy goals. That is the central objection Montalbano puts on the record, and the bill text supports the breadth she describes. A voluntary tool that lets a utility opt into lower-cost financing becomes, with one statutory edit, a mandatory mechanism the regulator can use to implement whatever the General Assembly has decided ratepayers should pay for next. The same authority that could force IXL to securitize Comanche 3 cost recovery could also be used on the retirement costs of any other facility, the costs of any approved program or project related to climate change or other hazards, or the stranded asset write-downs of natural gas infrastructure that policymakers have decided to phase out. The DORA report itself flags the same expansion path, noting that as gas infrastructure becomes a stranded asset no longer benefiting ratepayers, securitization could be applied to it as well. The bill's supporters offer this symmetric argument from the other direction. According to some and substance reporting, Claire Valentine, senior policy advisor with Western Resource Advocates, told the committee that investor-owned utilities like Ixtl and Black Hills have incentives to avoid securitization because it can decrease their profits. That sentence is the other half of DORA's incentive theory. It is also the policy reason the bill's sponsors say compulsion authority is necessary. Voluntariness, in their framing, is the structural reason savings opportunities go unrealized. According to Big Pivots, Big Pivots editor Alan Best reported similar arithmetic from the committee record. Securitization can finance retired plant capital at roughly 4.8%, Best reported, while traditional weighted average cost of capital for an investor-owned utility runs about 9.25%, citing testimony from Pueblo's Sarah Blackhurst on what those rate differentials mean for end-user bills. The on-air segment. On the May 4th Kim Monson Show broadcast, guest host Brad Beck flagged House Bill 261326 to listeners as part of a roundup of late-session activity. Beck described the bill as a measure that could lock Ixtl customers into decades of power-related costs, characterized securitization as a mechanism allowing a utility to issue bonds backed by a, quote, decades-long charge, and asked who pays. His own answer, you, the ratepayer, captures the central political question the bill raises. Beck's segment cited the bill's Public Utilities Commission sunset extension to 2037, which reflects the version as introduced. The Energy and Environment Committee amended that figure down to 2033 on April 23rd, before the segment aired. Watch. What to watch. The bill is at House Appropriations after clearing Energy and Environment on April 23rd and Finance the following week. After House passage, it heads to the Senate, where Senator Rodriguez and Senator Cutter are the prime sponsors. Republicans have made the compelled securitization provision their central objection, but per sum and substance reporting, no committee member moved to remove it from House Bill 261326 in the April 23rd hearing. Floor votes will determine whether anyone forces a record vote on whether a regulator should be able to put a 20 to 30 year charge on every Ixtl ratepayer's bill without the utility ever having to ask. If House Bill 261326 is not enacted, the Public Utilities Commission expires on September 1, 2026. And now, Kim's perspective. The 2019 securitization law was sold as a tool ratepayers could use through their utility, a way to refinance stranded coal assets at a lower cost when the utility chose to do it. House Bill 261326 changes the verb. Once a regulator can compel a private utility to issue ratepayer-backed bonds repaid through a non-bypassable charge for two or three decades, securitization stops being a ratepayer tool and starts being a fiscal lever for whatever policy goal the General Assembly puts on the menu next. Comanche 3 has been a $1.3 billion problem since the day it opened, and the same plant that has spent more than 900 days offline since 2010 is now the first live test of how the new authority would actually be used. Coloradans should ask their elected representatives a simple question. Who exactly benefits when a utility's failure to maintain its own plant becomes a 30-year line item on every electric bill in the state, and who decided that the customer was the right party to carry that loss? This article is available at kimmonson.com. For the full article with sources and links, visit kimmonson.com. This has been a Kim Monson, Colorado News Briefing.